I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
I've seen a lot of fly tipping lately, which I'm very pleased about.
Have you not?
No. Not as much as normal. A couple of toilets, you know, that just the full pan, just sat there, which is ironic because I pull into said gateway usually for a quality piss vista, and it's interrupted by a sort of toilet that's been wrenched out of a renovation house and then just thrown over a gate. I kind of feel sorry for the abandoned toilet. Does it quite make sense?
Yeah, and I also feel sorry for the person who's got to eventually clear it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's a horrible...
It's unsavoury, isn't it, having to handle a used lavatory?
Well, it's unsavoury having to handle someone's, like you say, tipped rubbish, which I just think is... Yeah. My brother thinks it's very low in the sort of food chain of crimes, as in it stoops very low. I'm not down with it at all.
It's casually twatty, isn't it? It's just...
I think if I witnessed it happening, I don't know if anyone else would do this, but I would intervene. Would you?
I think I would assess the situation very carefully, because I think if your moral compass allows you to fly tip, it might also allow you to have at someone with a claw hammer.
You reckon?
If they called you out on your fly tipping. I don't know. It's just a hunch that I've got. I would size up a number of factors, starting with the van.
Well, if it looks like it's generally disregarded and it's living a horrible life.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this then? You'd pull up, you'd wind the window down, but you've already got the car in launch control. So you can say your piece and then you just left foot off the brake and let the thing launch into orbit. Obviously, that's assuming you've got a straight bit of road. If you're on a hairpin right and you do that, you'll become YouTube clickbait. like that guy with the Porsche Taycan that just ended up sort of, I don't know, supermanning it off his own front garden, which I still don't understand how he did it or she did it. But
that's weird. That's not even launch control. It's launch control.
It's just
sort of
slippery throttle syndrome.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think this has been documented, though, that sometimes when people accidentally clog it, there's a sort of, what would you call it? Like a kind of target fixation thing where they become incapable of lifting off. It's almost like they just...
Oh, well, like you're being electrocuted jams. And you can't let go of the fence.
Yeah, which is the one... Is it DC that you can't let go of?
Yes, I think so, which is the more dangerous one, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the one where in the pits at Formula E races, they have a man with a big hook.
They have the shepherd's crook, which is made of nylon.
Shepherd's crook, yeah.
That's right, the nylon crook warrior, yeah.
It's quite a sobering sight.
It's horrible.
When you find out what it's for.
There's a lot of those hanging around Rimac. When I did a factory tour of Rimac,
there
was a lot of shepherd's crooks on the wall. Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, they're being vigilant, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, fair play. Yes. I mean, Rimac, they're not mucking about with the old electricity and that.
Oh, no,
DC, isn't it? So you touch it and then it locks you to the thing that is then frying you.
It's awful.
It's not a nice thing.
Awful.
So you have to be yanked off. I knew. I was like, oh, he hasn't giggled when I said yanked off. But
I did.
No, you have. anyway, so guess what I did over Jubilee weekend?
Moved house.
No, I did that last...
That was the week before, was it?
Well, I did that. Yeah, I've done that. So we've been here a few days now. This is the first podcast that I'm recording in my new shed at the end of my garden.
Have you got a garden shed thing?
Shed. Office. Shed slash office, yeah.
Schloffice.
It's weird because it's still full of things that the previous owner couldn't be asked to take away.
Ah, what have you got? You got anything good?
Well, there's a sofa in here, a small white stained sofa that we did not ask him to leave. And there's a printer, but like quite a big printer, like a sort of, I'm going to say an early 2000s printer.
What, like a again, like an A1 size, A2, like a big plotter thing?
No, just like a just a printer. It's an Epson, if you're interested. I'm looking at it now, but I just went, I don't want that. And a light. There's a light in the corner, some kind of like, it's quite, it looks quite cool, but when I went to turn it on, I turned it on and I went, oh, it works. That's quite cool. I've got a light in here. And then I tried to move it and it shorted all the electrics out in the building. So that's going to the tip.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
No, I know. I've got some worries about the electrics in this house. We've had them checked out, but I've got some worries that there's shenanigans.
Do you ever professionally MOT'd the house before you bought it?
Did
you have an HPI check if it had been stolen?
Had it HPI'd.
And, can you do that with houses? Yeah. I mean, like, does anybody try and pretend it's yours and sell a house that's not really theirs? I'm sure it goes on. Must do.
Wasn't there a case, I don't know where I heard this, on another podcast or on a radio thing, where there was a guy who went away and when he came back, someone else was living in his house? And
what?
Somebody had... Yeah, he went away for an extended period of time. And when he came back, someone had broken into his house and then sold it.
But
which shouldn't be possible, surely, because you think that, you know, there's sort of legally, you have all these kind of deeds and documentation.
Of course.
They just flogged his house to some other person.
I mean, I'm impressed because it's such an audacious thing to do, but I don't know how you do it. I just don't know.
Oh, anyway, so what I did over Jubilee weekend was I went to a garden centre.
Oh,
let me
amazing.
Ask you this.
Amazing.
Do you like the smell of a garden centre?
Love them.
Mm.
I love garden centres. I did work at one briefly when I was 16, yeah, before I could drive. And,
did you?
Yeah. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I got promoted to the aquatics pond and aquatic section. I was well into it. I spent most of my... I spent almost everything that I earned straight back into the pond and aquarium section. So I was a bit like... It's like a drug dealer that also is a taker. Hasn't worked out that it's not a business that way.
One of those old school landlords who just stands in the open flap of the bar drinking pints all night and you kind of go,
"You're
there's a reason you're so ruddy-faced and fat, and it's this."
And slash poor. Yeah. It's exactly that. Oh, I can't understand why I'm not making money. Just seem to be...
Go to the brewery and go, yeah, a lot of wastage you get on those barrels. Really? What's the Cyril? Or did you just drink it all? So, yes, what was I saying? Oh, well, no, is this where your enthusiasm for fish comes from? Working in a fish section?
Well, I was into fish before, so I sort of engineered it so that I might work in a department so that I could fulfil my passion even further, but also get staff discount, of which I got staff discount on 25% off everything. So when I came to upgrade the aquarium, the aquatic situation, naturally, I could wade in quite hard with me 25% off. And so I did, Richard. That's what I did.
Is this off everything or just fish?
Yeah, I mean, like, my mum got wind of the discount and saw at Christmas time, things like that. She would go, oh, is it all right if you come round with me when I come in and I'll and stick it on your card? So, yeah, we used
did
to do that.
Did she sidle up to you in the kitchen one day and go, Jonathan, word on the street is you're getting a sweet 2.5 PC off the garden centre shizzle.
Oh,
in on that. Okay.
She was well into
no tea tonight.
Yeah. She was actually, I think I moved, yeah, after that job, I moved on to working in Safeway, the artist formerly known as, which is now known as Morrison's, I think. But
yeah,
I worked in Safeway and I got a 20% staff discount card there on all your grocery shopping. So that, when you're a teenager, that amounts to quite a lot of food. Family of four.
Yeah, it does.
So my mum absolutely loved the fact that I had that job. And I despised that job. I just did it as a means to an end. It had to pay my insurance and the general running costs of a classic vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's all it was there for.
She didn't creep up to you one day and just go, right, Johnny, could you quit Safeway and could you go and get a job at the local Renault garage because your dad and I fancy a Megane and we're not paying lists, no frigging way.
I'd love to have worked for a car manager. Well, I have got a discount off my late father-in-law and my stepmother-in-law. I did get them a discount off a Ford, off of a Folds. I did get them, but they wanted to buy brand new folds, and I did manage to get them a discount. And I didn't play it dirty. It was straight play. And they got themselves a couple of extras fucking thrown in and all that. They got themselves a tow. I love it. Is it called a towing system or a tow pack? It's not called a tow bar. No one in the automotive industry calls tow bars anymore. It's a towing system or a pack.
Additional wheel device towing solution.
Whatever. The point is they wanted that. And there was one other extra, I think, and I can't remember. It was something quite dull, like, I don't know, Ford embossed rubber mats, over mats. You can always tell the sign of a worshipped car. There's at least two over mats. I've actually bought a car before that had three over mats. That's like three duvets on a bed.
But also, that's the point where then your feet are slightly too high.
Yeah, the pedal box is lost.
It's going to suddenly turn like a Fiesta. We'll suddenly have the sitting position of at least a 911, possibly even a Testarossa, because your feet are going to be so elevated, particularly as a passenger. But even as a driver, you're going to be like, oh, the pedals feel like they're below my feet because of this thick, thick carpeting. Weird.
And also you never get full throttle again because it pads out from behind the throttle, right?
Your mat positioning is going to be quite crucial here. I mean, with three mats, if they're all beneath the pedals, you'll never get more than a quarter throttle.
No.
You've
protected the carpet at the detriment of the fact that you've lost 60% of your power. And you didn't even realise.
You simply cannot do hill starts because, A, the clutch isn't engaging properly. You are smearing that so badly. You can't fully engage the brakes, on the handbrake, that's okay.
But you're tweaking it on the H-brake, yeah, that's right. We've all been there. I did it with you in the car. Do you remember that Polsky Fiat that I had? Where I had brake failure coming down the hill, I had to tweak the H-brake. You just casually...
Ooh, now there's a funny thing. Hang on. Talking as I was about going to the garden centre over Jubilee weekend, because, you know... It's what Her Majesty would have wanted. And
it's the Queen's Jubilees.
In the Queen's Jubilees. So I went to a garden centre that's in the near where I now live, and there was a Fiat 126 in the car park.
Was there?
And I was going to take a picture of it, but it was sort of across the other side of the car park where there's another business.
Yeah.
And it would have been a shit photo, and I was in a bit of a hurry, so I didn't have time to walk across.
You're not selling it to me.
I know, sorry, I'm just making pathetic excuses.
Could you have taken one of those full zoom lens, my daughter does this, instead of walking closer to a thing, she'll just zoom in more on the camera, and it's just grainy, and it looks like a CCTV screenshot. And I say, that's just a photo that no one's ever going to look at again. It's a stupid idea. Just go closer, frame it properly, for crying out
loud. Well, we're all carrying around thousands of photos we'll never look again, are we? That's the whole point of, you know, having a camera phone. It's just you're digitally... Imagine if they were printed out photos. Everybody would be carting around one of those enormous... translucent plastic moving boxes full of like Pronto print envelopes, and you go, what's in all that? I don't know. Oh, this one I took accidentally when I was trying to turn on the torch.
I did a selfie when I was in the toilet.
I thought I saw a Kestrel, but I can't remember. It's actually just there. You just see a bit of tree. Yeah, I should delete that, I suppose.
I saw a Kestrel a couple of days ago when I was in North Wales.
Did you?
I was filming there. And then I took a day and a half off to see my old friend, Nick. Yeah, I did. I saw a Kestrel. I climbed a mountain as well. It's called Elephant Mountain, but I don't... Apparently it looks like an elephant hunched over, but I don't believe that because I stared at it for a while and went, I don't know, it's just a completely made-up term.
This is in North Wales?
North Wales, not far from Snowdonia. And there's folklore attached to the mountain. Apparently, it's something to do with Paul. It's the Mountain of Paul. It's also there's common land in front of it that's nicknamed after a man called Paul who tried to marry a farmer's daughter. The farmer denied him marriage, and after him pleading with him, he said, I will let you marry my daughter on one proviso. You climb this mountain naked and you survive the whole night naked, and if you're still alive in the morning, you can marry my daughter. I'm not making this shit up, Richard. There's an information sheet about it. And and sure enough, he survived.
Did this only happen like in the 90s?
This happened 6 years ago. And he survived. He survived by keeping his body temperature higher by striking time after time a hammer onto a log.
No, that's not a thing that can happen.
It's a thing. No. I've done it before when I've gone on a camping trip and I haven't bought enough bedding. Yeah, I've done
it. Just hit a log.
Yeah. Hit a log time and time again, but with no clothes on. Gets the locals talking. Keeps you alive. There's just so many benefits.
Get a mountain named after you. Yeah.
There's no Johnny sort Mountain, of. Is there? Johnny Hill, whatever.
Well, not that we know of, but no. Anyway, so I went to the garden centre. I saw a Fiat 126 across the other side of the car park, too in a hurry / lazy to go across and take a proper picture of it, so I just didn't take a picture at all. Went into the garden centre, and I thought, I haven't been to a garden centre for as long as I can remember, which is, I just haven't. I've had no cause for it. And I thought, as I walked in, I'm going to get hit by the smell in a second. And I do like that garden centre smell.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
It wasn't? It wasn't.
No, because this place is quite, a lot of it is outside, but then sort of covered. You know, it's got open-sided thing. And I think that allows the smell to escape. And there's only one indoor bit, and the smell just wasn't there.
What do you need, though, in order to create this the smell? You need, let's think what you need. You need some pet feed.
Yeah.
Plants.
Potting compost.
Potting compost. You definitely need a scented candle section. It's usually Yankee Candle because they seem to have cornered the market.
Yeah.
And then you've got, I'm trying to think what else. Oh, be sawdust. There's some sawdust somewhere.
Yes, there's definitely sawdust in the mix. Yeah. Mm. And I think maybe you're getting some sort of synthetic notes as well from like astroturfy things. And
yes. There is some sympathetic, there's some synthetic stuff, absolutely.
This is what I like about garden centres. Yeah. Did you come home and did your clothes smell of it?
Yeah, they did, yeah. Mm. Which is better than
it feels like it'd be quite a pervasive smell.
It's a bit like my wife has said before that if she went on a long journey with someone once in their car and they said he didn't have BO, but he didn't smell of anything to the point which that roused suspicion on her part of like, is he a clean person or not? Because there was no deodorant smell, no aftershave smell, just it was so neutral that it was almost a little bit disconcerting. And that's made me think to myself, well, I know what I do now. If I'm in any doubt, I go straight into the glove box and I just drizzle a little bit of Brute on the wrists, wipe them together, or wipe them down the side bolsters of the seat.
And then, like a pungent grasshopper.
Well, you've just bought a new house and moved in. Did the house smell... Obviously, it will have smelled unfamiliar because you've not been in there before. So is the smell normal yet? Or do you need another week to bed it in a bit?
It's sort of getting there. Do you know what? It didn't smell. We came round here a few weeks ago to show our children our new house because we had struck up a rapport with the people who were selling it, and they were like, yeah, come over, no worries at all, which is very nice of them. I think they were buttering us up so they could leave us an early 2000s printer. When we came around, I was like, oh, there's a smell to this house. Not an unpleasant smell, just it's somebody else's smell. And I thought that's going to take some shifting. But no, it already feels like it's gone, but I'm not sure what's replacing it. Well, I'll tell you what's replacing it at the moment is our freaking dog who's rolled in fox poo in the local park and absolutely stinks. But the other parts of the house, they don't smell much of anything, which is a sort of a worry, but I suppose you don't know your own smell, do you?
No, you don't quite know it. I'm a bit worried about it in cars when you we've had this conversation before about being on an exceptionally long trip on your own, usually starting early. And you get to within, I don't know, a mile of your destination, you have a bit of a panic in case someone comes and sits in the car with you or something. You think, does it smell a bit guffy? Is it okay? Is it sort of stale or is it going to be fresh enough? So I do all four windows down. Drive for a while, get a little bit of a, you know, get some turbulence in the cabin. It's a good time to sort of unsettle any dust on the dashboard if you've not cleaned it for a while. In fact, that's maybe what launch control is quite useful for. Windows down launch control, whilst disturbing the dust on all the hard surfaces.
Is it like the equivalent of one of those very aggressive hand dryers for your interior?
Yeah, it is exactly like that. Which we now know is, what's the new leader of the pack, is the Mitsubishi Jet Towel.
Mitsubishi Jet Towel, yeah.
Which if
we still get messages about that. Like people send us pictures.
People are sending us pictures of gents' toilet applications. This is great. And I've had a couple of Blue Zeus pictures.
And you know what? This is not an invitation to stop. Please, if you see a jet towel and it tickles you and you think of us, then do send us the picture because I quite enjoy it. It's almost like it feels like we've just sent a little sort of brainworm out into the world and... It's a little thing that bonds. If you ever walk into a loo in an airport or somewhere, particularly abroad, because the jet towel seems to have got a good foothold in other countries, from what I gather.
Yeah.
And you happen upon a person, probably a man, I would say, given our demographic skew, then and they're taking a picture of a hand dryer, it's almost like you go, oh, do you listen to Smith and Sniff? And then, you know, you maybe made a new friend.
Can you imagine? Maybe we should offer prizes to people that manage to put a Smith and Sniff sticker into onto a hand dryer or a public convenience. Yeah.
We need to get some just little circular kind of guerrilla marketing stickers, don't we, that we could just give out to people.
Maybe we should. Yeah, but obviously we can't recommend that they guerrilla stick it on things like road signs or motorway services, or I don't know, your next door neighbour's car, who's never look at the rest of the windows.
Nigel Haver's back, trying to present a programme about antique clocks.
Yeah, we should do that.
Serving suggestion, not saying you should do it. Absolutely not saying that. We are going to Goodwood later this month, aren't we?
Mm.
Is it too late to get some little stickers made up that we can just carry a massive roll of them round?
No, like I think
a kind of bloke at a carnival with tickets.
I think we could do that. We should do that, or we should look like real low end of the food chain drug dealers, where you letting people have just a cheeky one, and it's just fifty pence, you know, just 50 pence. Go on, have a go on that. Have a little tickle on that, mate. Go on, come back if you want more, tell your friends. So you're just starting out in the game. You know, you just
of course, I realise this could backfire because we'll never get... We're going to Goodwood to go and do some presenting for the Goodwood Channel.
Yes, actual work.
Last year, yeah. Actual work. And then at the end of it, if Lord Sir... What's he called now? The Earl of Lord March or something?
It's not the Earl of Lord.
Sir Earl March. In fact, it's not. It's Richmond as well. For some inexplicable reason, it's completely... Richmond. The Duke of... Is it the Duke? The Duke of Richmond? Lord March.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's nothing to do with those little party sausages that you get.
Or is it, though? Is that why they went, now, you've achieved dukeship. We've upgraded you from lordness. You get to choose where you want to be the Duke of. And he was just in his kitchen at the time looking at he's got a secret addiction to those very spitty sausages.
Spitty?
They're really spitty, aren't they? They're just the spit. They're very...
They're angry.
You know, if you grill them, yeah.
Yeah.
Squirty sausage.
Oh, squirty.
And he just looked down and before he could help himself, he just went, Richmond?
Yeah, Richmond.
Went, yeah, okay, it's fine. It's not taken. You can have that.
And he quickly drew a completely made up crest of arms.
Yeah.
Just on a tea towel. A
sausage. No, it's a one of those big things that it's a scimitar. Ride it's a behind a speed boat.
Scimitar and... sword, yeah.
Sausage-shaped swords. A pork sword, if you will.
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah, he said, no, so... that's not what you think it is. No, it's not. No, I promise it's not. You. It's a...
But,
it's a Parma ham dagger. That's exactly what it is.
Two more from them later. The phone call we don't want to get is from Sir Lord Duke March of Richmond saying, just clearing up the site after the Goodwood Festival of Speed. Very successful weekend. Did you twats give out loads of stickers with your podcast on? Because the place is covered in them, and some of them, they're in direct sunlight. They've gone really gummy and left residue on my windows.
Awful.
And on a lovely old Bizzarini that I just had parked outside.
Yeah, that's just been valued at $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're never coming back? Except...
Or we're not paying
when
you.
When you come back. Yeah, we're not paying you. And in fact, you are coming back next weekend with some white spirit and a load of kitchen roll.
I'd love to go around the Goodwood Estate with a big can of Terps and some kitchen roll. I think it'd be quite fun.
Doing what? Taking sticker residue off things that have just been...
I don't know what I'd do.
Titted up.
I think I'd probably just... I just give things because it makes things squeaky clean, doesn't it? Because it really.
Yeah, I suppose. But it's. I always think it's also very pungent. It leaves a lot of. Oh. It evaporates, doesn't it? It'd be all right, I suppose.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. No, I'd like to do that. That'd be good. I think that'd be fun. Looking forward to it.
Would you like to
that.
Do it the weekend after the Festival of Speed? Just go and clean Goodwood with some Terps?
Yeah, I would actually. Yeah. But I'd like to have a tool belt with loads of different options for scrubbing brushes and cleaning things. In fact, I've never seen a car detailer, one of the professional car detailers. I've never seen one of them with a tool belt. I don't know whether that's because you might scratch a car.
Scratching.
That's what it is, isn't it?
For scratching reasons, yeah.
That's why they always, all the really good ones do it with just a body stocking on.
They wear a onesie, like one of those sort of furry onesies with a hood on.
What, like with Homer Simpson kids. Kind of stickers?
Or like a dinosaur. It's got spines down the back.
Soft spines, yes.
Oh, yeah, soft, of course. Mm. In fact, you can use them. Just that final bit of, it's just a little bit of a bloom on one of the front wings of a lovely old Ferrari 275 GT. Just rub your arse in your lovely soft dinosaur onesie. Just takes that bloom off it, brings up the shine.
I'd like that. I'd quite like to see it. People getting a bit more artistic with Nomex in the racing
circles.
This is not
a sequence in the movie Sing. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't. No, what happens
it's very
in
good.
Sing?
Well, there's a koala bear, which he runs a theatre. Which is in trouble.
Of course he does.
And he's financially in peril, and he has to go back to his old job, which is that he gets someone to throw a bucket of water over him and then a load of soap, and then he just rubs himself around people's cars to clean them.
What, a koala?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then his mate, who's a sheep, joins in, and the sheep dries while the koala washes.
Of course, it's a lamb's wool mitt, isn't it? The sheep.
Yeah. Right,
but with a heartbeat. Yeah.
Yeah. But in a way, sort of a very dynamic lamb's wool mitt, because it can kind of, sort of self-guiding drying system. I don't know. I mean, it is an animation, to be clear. It's not a documentary or anything. No, koalas can't run theatres.
You've just got me thinking about people sending in pictures of Mitsubishi jet towels. I did actually take a picture a couple of weeks ago of a really awful Dyson hand cleaner, dryer, just to reinforce the fact that it just doesn't quite solve the problem, because there was a huge slick of water all down the wall and then a pool of water down below just waiting for someone to fall over and break their legs or hips. And I took a photo, and as I was taking the picture, there was nobody else in the gents' toilet, but I did worry that someone would burst through the door, because some people enter gents' toilets quite aggressively, don't they? Like a
saloon
door.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
And I was worried that I'd have a camera there and they'd think I was a nonce or something like that. I'm going to use the term narc.
I think, what would you think if you saw someone who got their camera out? I think my first thought would be they're taking a picture of themselves, like doing a mirror selfie, depending on how old they were.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be my first thought. My second thought is they're doing a knob pick.
What, in the like where your hand, where the hand basins are? What?
Well, people do things, don't they? I mean,
people are crooked. People are so crooked. What an awful idea.
There's that thing, isn't there, that says if you can imagine it, someone's done it.
An old
saying, but yeah. Which is, I don't know, because I can imagine somebody like throwing gravy over Burt Reynolds, and I don't ever think that happened. So it's not entirely true. But
I'd love to have met Burt Reynolds. I think he would have been.
But you're going to say you'd love to have thrown gravy.
No, I would not like to have thrown gravy over anybody that I liked.
Really disrespectful.
No.
Really disrespectful.
No, it's not my thing, really, gravy throwing.
No.
Oh, I know. I was going to say it last podcast, but I restrained myself because I realised I might ruin the moment of the video that goes out on my channel, the Late Break Show YouTube channel, that coincides with this cast, is a Metro 6R4. Driving one on the road for the first time and meeting a guy that owns one and it was so much fun. I can't remember how I've segued into this. It's just suddenly popped into my head. I think it was because
someone threw gravy over you. Someone threw it.
It kind of felt like that because it's a very sweaty, hot,
yes,
slightly nauseous place, the cabin of a 6R4. I hadn't anticipated on the loudness. He had emailed me beforehand, a chap called Dan, who owns the 6R4, and he said, listen, I've got a kind of like helicopter pilot headsets in it, you know, comms, because it's incredibly loud. And we were like, well, what's loud? And he went, well, you know, when you're on it a bit, it's about 90 dB. I went, what? Is it? He went, yeah, because, you know, the sort of front of the engine is about 12 inches away from back of the seat, and all that's dividing you is a thin, wobbly piece of plexiglass. And you're like, really? Oh, bugger. I sort of, for some reason, had underestimated the intensity of the experience.
What spec was this 6R4? Was it Clubman?
Well, it's like a lot of them, it's led a peppered life. This one started as a Clubman and then got used in rally. It got bought by Autoplas, who make plastic accessories for cars like the rear window louver off of the 80s and the 70s, and they campaigned it. And I think it was modified from Clubman spec to do a bit of that.
Yeah.
And then it went into quite a long string of privateer rallying and stuff. But actually, it's been the previous owner blew the original engine up, so it now has a Ford Jag 3-litre V6 in it, is it called the AJ30? I actually can't remember what it's called.
Oh yes,
or is it classed as a 3-litre Duratec?
Well, I think Jag sort of just gave it a name, didn't they? But
it is a 3-litre Duratec, isn't it? Same as the
Jaguar would probably go, actually, we made some changes, but yeah. What do they call it? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't.
But yes, that motor.
So it hasn't got the original 6R4.
Hasn't got the original motor in it, because, and he reeled off some incredible stats to me about how expensive 6R4s are to live with the original powertrain. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. So, I mean, it still had the original diffs. They need rebuilding every 500 miles. So I chuckled about that, thinking 500 miles is like nothing, is it? I mean, it's not even like one rally. Do you have to service the mid-rally?
And he said, 500 miles?
Yeah, he said they did actually used to switch them in rallies, you know, like run them on a bit of a circulation. He said they'd replace them before 500 miles because they knew they might get into trouble. So the engine needs rebuilding every 1,000 miles, the original. What's it called? The V6 4V or the...
Yeah.
Yeah. That it needs rebuilding every 1,000 miles.
Well, this has really ruined my plans to buy a 6R4
well,
as a
quite.
Daily driver.
Well, quite.
That's
going quite.
To be a nuisance, isn't it?
Yeah. And do you not want to know how much the engine rebuild costs on an original one?
I'm going to say 10 grand?
25.
Oh.
So, and he said...
12, 15 grand out.
And so he said, if I wanted to put the original engine back in, it's 50 grand to find another one. So it's 50 grand to find the engine, 25 to rebuild it every 1,000 miles, diff rebuilds every 500 miles. She said, oh, and it's got a 50-litre fuel tank and it's a pound... It does a litre a mile.
What?
So we went out for a 10-mile blast and we used 10 litres of fuel. It might have been even more than that because we did a 0-60 blast. And I walked away in just disbelief of how hungry/thirsty the 6R4 is. It's an absolute, cookie monster of a car. It just wants to devour everything.
So it does a litre a mile?
A litre a mile.
So that's less than 5 miles per gallon then?
Something like that, yes.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, I was like that too.
But that's with the Jag engine.
He says he says the Jag engine, I think, is slightly better, but it's not. I mean, he's had it tuned up. It's just a smidge under 400 horsepower. But then the originals, I think, in international trim, were 400 horses.
Yeah.
It's bonkers, just bonkers. So he said the Jag engine is the same power, but it's 3 grand for a full rebuild, and that has to be done every 3,000 miles. So a very big difference in cost.
Mm.
And on that basis, he's in, and he'll let me drive it. I had to insure it for over 200 grand car now.
Yeah.
Because there's few of them left.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Probably one with its original engine, and that's got some, it's like one of the ex-works cars there. Where are they now? Probably like 500,000 or something, perhaps, if they ever come up, which I don't know if they do.
Probably are. But you have to drive one with a self-adhesive moustache, Tony Pond moustache on. Otherwise, it doesn't quite feel right.
So I drove an RS200, which I think I mentioned last time, and that was incredible. But I don't know any of the stats about engine rebuilds and diffs and things like that. I drove Ford's heritage car. Which I couldn't help noticing because they're all white, or they were originally all white.
Weren't they? I think they
had a red one and a blue one. But
I'm back into RS200 fucking Ford's. He's on stage three and all that.
Does the
high
Metro,
lift cams.
One of the things I remember about the RS200 is that you had to be very, very careful. You couldn't do your triple floor mat thing in an RS200 because you needed a lot of revs to get away from standstill. And if you had any lock on at all, you needed even more revs because otherwise there's so much sort of wind up in the transmission, so much resistance.
And because it's full-time four-wheel drive, it's not letting go at all.
And there's none of your sort of, torse and diffs and your little clutchy things that make four-wheel drive road cars now really sort of civilised. This is like proper mechanical, raw...
Clickety-click.
Have it!
Yeah.
What, you pulling away from a junction with a little bit of lock on? You twat. I'm going to stall.
I'm going to stall on you. You wait.
Right, oh, Muppet.
You're going to have to step it off the clutch and hope that it doesn't understeer through a neighbour's wall. That's what you're going to have to do. Hope that it bites and goes round a bit.
Did you also find with the Metro, the more that you absolutely whacked it, the more that it just was brilliant?
Yeah.
You have to drive it incredibly hard.
Yeah.
If you pussyfoot it, it doesn't feel good and it doesn't really work.
No, absolutely. And the owner, Dan, who was an absolute gent, I said, what's the trick here? Like, what's your pearls of wisdom for a 6R4 Metro? You know, a Group B, road legal Group B car. And he went, Metro, so short wheelbase, you have to commit to a corner. You have to go into a corner committed in the way you've committed and you cannot deviate. So if the corner changes or you realise you're going too fast, it's sort of too late. He said, you can't adjust what you're doing mid corner because it will just turn on you so fast because it's so short and the way it's proportioned. So he says you've just got to look down the road and go, this corner's this gear, this amount of throttle, and you just stay at it And if the corner tightens, you try and tighten, but that's kind of it. That's the only way you can do it. And like he said, it was like you just said, it's full-time four-wheel drive, so you can't like diddle it on the handbrake or anything. It's you've got to just sort of like drop kick it into a corner. Yeah. And it is a stark reminder. I mean, I drove it on a normal road, right? I didn't do more than 70 in it. And all I kept coming back to is thinking, what must this have felt like at 130, 140 on gravel?
Mm. Oh, my God, yeah.
With a crash helmet on that feels like it's been made out of Amazon packaging, parcel packaging. And you know what I mean?
It's tinfoil. Yeah. Just wrapped some tinfoil around my head.
And a ray suit looks like...
It's a weight-saving, mate.
Exactly. And a race suit that just looks
like decorator's overalls.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like Ghostbusters fancy dress outfit. And you're in this thing that's in a haze. It's so, honestly, the whole inside smells so flammable. But it was very exciting.
When I drove the RS 200, I was wearing a new T-shirt. Like it's the first time I'd worn it. It was a green T-shirt. And when I took it off that night when I got home, I'd sweated so much in a new T-shirt that some of the dye had come out, and my torso was so slightly green in places, like a crap Hulk. I'd sweated and sweated. It was so hot and intense in that fold, and I imagine the Metro's the same.
That is the ultimate fold, so isn't it? In some ways,
it's homologation bloody folds. Great. Yeah. So good. So good. Somebody put a picture on Twitter last week. They just spotted one. I think they copied you in as well. They just spotted an RS200 in a car park at their work, I think.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Well, there's only 200 of them, supposedly, although there aren't. Fun. It's all a bit contentious, as it always is with these Group B cars. But I looked this up because you could look it up from the reg. There's so few of them. They're generally sort of known. There's a site called rs200.org which just records as much as they can where every RS200 is and what spec it is. And this turns out to be one of the so-called RS200 plus cars, which is cars that were built from spares after the event. And this one was built by Mike, some other guy who ran the rally team.
So it's that company. Would you still call it an official RS200? You would, wouldn't you?
You would, but they're slightly less valuable. And this guy piped up on RS200.org's forum, where someone went a few years ago, went, this car's up for sale, it's just been sold. And this guy piped up and went, hi, I bought it. And he said, and this was about 2015, he said, I know that it's not as valuable as a legit factory made or Reliant made, as they were, weirdly, but it's not, doesn't have that provenance, but it is built from the right parts in the right way by people who knew that car inside out, but they're still just sort of slightly less valuable. So because of that, I feel like I'm not going to be a complete sort of, you know, I'm not going to be precious about it.
No.
So, and I'm going to try and use it. And then sure enough, fast forward 7 years, and somebody just clocked it in their work car park. And then somebody else piped up and said, oh, I saw it in a petrol station, and I saw it here. And that was... So it seems like this guy just uses it, which
is fabulous.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely fabulous, because you just get a chance to see these things. And that's what I felt like in the Metro, driving through all these villages. And it was a really warm, sunny British summer day. And we were in this stupid car. Just a ridiculous thing. And every time we got out of it and looked at it with all of its crooked proportions, it's Group B. It's like all the cool Group B cars, they just look like somebody's intentionally just pissed around with all the proportions to make them look awkward. Because none of them exactly flow, do they? You wouldn't call them, they're not design masterpieces in terms of that. They're engineering masterpieces. They're not, I don't think any of them are gorgeous. But no, it's great.
I don't know. The Metro is just brilliantly like, I'm ugly, deal with it. It's like the Gruffalo of cars, isn't it? It's just like, he's got horrible spoilers coming out of his roof. But
he's got an underbite. That's that front bumper. That's
it has
sort of,
got an underbite.
It's got an underbite. It's a come and have a go. It's like, have it. Come on.
It'd probably be a Brummy though, wouldn't it?
Come on.
Birmingham.
Oh, of course it's.
Right. Don't fucking mess with me.
He's a fighty Brummy.
But I find the RS200 has a sort of a kind of, it's not pretty, but it's kind of fugly. 205 T16 and the Delta S4 in their road going versions. Actually, yeah. I mean, the 205 looks a bit like it. From a distance, you might mistake it for a GTI with one of those dimmer
kits, yeah.
What was it? Oh, well, I suppose Sport Quattro. Sport Quattro is a bit weird, isn't it? It's like a Audi Quattro. All
the whole Sport Quattro thing's hilarious when you think about it, because it's five times more than the normal one, but doesn't look anywhere near as well proportioned or handsome. So actually, you're buying it because it's rare and it's got more. I know it's got more power and it's there's less of them, etc. But it is an ugly thing.
Yeah, no, it's looks stumpy.
It's just silly wheelbase.
The one that looks really mutated that they've just messed with it is the lesser spotted Citroen BX4TC.
Yeah,
where it's like the front overhang is the same length as the rest of the car.
Yeah. I didn't realise the guy who owns the 6R4, because I said, is this the shortest Group B car ever? And he said, oh, it might be. He said, although they did do, that was very short-lived, a Talbot Samba. And I didn't know. I'm still not sure. If any listeners know, I've never known of a Talbot Samba Group B car. Maybe you have. But
no.
But maybe it was one of these ones attempts that lasted about one weekend, and then they just went, no, this is either too lethal or just silly. Can it now?
I think they had a thought, and I think there were like Group N or Group A Sambas. They were going to do a Horizon Group B car.
Oh, with, my gosh.
Which Lotus were getting involved in, and they did build, and there still exists at least one of the prototypes. And then, but it was a bit cack, I think, by all accounts, that some of the work that went into it. Mid-engine four-wheel drive, but just
folds.
They couldn't quite get it working. But a lot of the work they did on it fed into the 205 T16, so it wasn't in vain.
Ah, right.
So, but around that time, because also Peugeot, Citroën, Talbot Group, they've got a lot of, they weren't that long merged.
No.
Because Citroën only merged with Peugeot in the mid-70s, and then they bought Chrysler / Talbot in the late 70s, and it was like they just got so much, they've got so many different competition departments and just things going on. It was probably a bit of a nightmare trying to
just too many badges tonight. too many badges
of course. But then now they're part of Stellantis, and it's too many badges.
Can you imagine the groupies you'd have at a rally with the Stellantis crew, though? I mean, that would bring a whole new demographic to a sort of like a wintry, windswept valley of a stage rally.
Hot pants.
You'd have girls in and the furry
vests.
Girls in the hot pants and those sort of furry boots, which I don't know, they were of their time. I quite like them. And maybe glow sticks, that kind of stuff. And the guys all look like Guru Josh with, like, I don't know, glittery pretend saxophones that don't really play anything.
Leather waistcoat with nothing underneath.
Leather waistcoat and nothing underneath. And then you realise he's the works rally driver. He turns up, you think he's a backing dancer. No, that bastard's in the car.
Still don't understand how they got an exemption to not have to you can have bare arms and shoulders in the car. No Nomex, just a Nomex waistcoat.
It's the Stellantis way.
Yeah, if someone at Stellantis in the marketing department with a bit of clout has got a sense of humour, they just send all of the companies that they own rallying at once.
I'd love that.
Some kind of battle royale. Maybe it's a whole Stellantis rally series. It stands outside of any other rally championship. It's just Stellantis. Alfa Romeo versus Citroen versus Ram versus...
Versus Ram.
Versus Ram versus Fiat 500e rally car for some reason.
Citroen. Oh, it'd be amazing. Gosh, that's a busy... There's another... That's a busy...
Busy. Oh, that's the thing. It wouldn't fit into the World Rally Championship because there'd be too many companies.
No, Stellantis has chosen an alternative place to hold it, which would be either Coachella or Burning Man. And they're going to do it. Or Ibiza. Maybe they just circumnavigate Ibiza with just loads of really leery face paints and, I don't know, those rave whistles. And then...
Yeah.
And, I quite like that. And even everyone's so engrossed in the party atmosphere that nobody's actually set any timing equipment up, so nobody knows who really won. But they all look really fast. So, hey, let's just celebrate the fact that everyone's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's just there for a good time.
Yeah.
The one time Vauxhall Opel just turn up with a Manta.
Yeah, they do, because they were like, well...
And there's such good vibes. No one objects. They're just like, hey, that's cool. Yeah, retro. Yeah, cool. Yeah,
ah,
really
for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good.
For sure. So
I'd love that. Yeah. Can we go to that event?
Idea for free.
So we love you, Stellantis. You've got it going on. Can we just say that? I think as far as it...
Have they, though? I don't know.
Well, they've got almost everything going on. They're the sort of, like, TK Maxx of the car world.
Law of averages, there must be something going on because they own 112 companies. So it's, yeah, it's just, it has to. It's going on.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot. Are they going to
end... Is the new Astra out yet? I don't even know. I feel like we talked about it about a year ago, but I feel... Is it on sale?
I don't think it is.
And if so, how come I haven't seen any?
No, I don't think it is. Because you would have seen it. But I might be wrong. And all that. I think Stellantis needs to sell more merchandise. That's all I'm saying.
Funnily enough, when I was leaving, I don't want to harp on about garden centres. Maybe I do.
Yeah,
I feel like we've wasted this podcast talking about Group B cars when we could have been really deep diving on garden centres.
If you say it quickly, it sounds like groupie cars, not Group B. Groupie. So is there a conflict there? You're either into Group B or it's a groupie car. Groupie.
I don't know what you're saying. Anyway, I was leaving the garden centre and I saw someone in a Vauxhall Mokka, but it had got... I presume this is something you can order.
A giant inflatable penis instead of an aerial.
Yeah. Space hoppers for wheels. Quite unusual. It was dark grey, I think, but it had like orange accents all over it, including, I think, on the wheels. And it was in a space, and I could see the reverse lights came on just as I was approaching. And I thought, that's the kind of car where I feel like it's driven by someone who thinks they're a bit zany.
Yes.
And they're probably not very good at driving.
Yes.
So I sort of backed off. You know your spidey sense tingles. And
oh, hell yeah.
Certain cars you'd go, they're on it. They know what they're doing. They're not just going to reverse into me. And some cars you go, I think they might be a fuckwit. I'm going to give them a wide berth just to be on the safe side. And that was definitely one of those. It's like, you just went, why did you go into the Vauxhall garage and that's what you went? You went, orange accents on the wheels.
Zany.
Yes. I was going to say, yeah, it's
zany.
It's just zany. Some kind of, it's a kind of car Sue Pollard would drive.
Half of the listeners won't know who she is. I'm just trying to think of modern version of.
I'll put some notes about it in the Patreon show notes, and then if you don't know, you can find out.
Sue
if you're
Pollard.
Interested, which I'm.
I swear,
probably not.
Reminding me of Stellantis products, I swear I got overtaken on the way back from Wales by a Fiat 500, but I think it was driven by Gemma Collins. The GC. Yeah, I'm absolutely certain it looked just like her. If it wasn't her, it was somebody trying to look like Gemma Collins, which I guess it's possible, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Mm.
I mean,
and it was I was a little bit taken aback. Not enough to give chase or anything. But
yeah, what do you do in that situation? To not give
chase? It's a long journey on your own, so it just adds a bit of ammunition to the thought process of like, oh my gosh, yeah, was that actually the JC who always talks about herself in the third? She talks about herself in the third. Voice, a bit like the Queen, bringing it back to the Queen.
Does the Queen? I don't think the Queen talks about herself in the third person.
Actually, she probably doesn't. I think
I suppose one, in a way.
Yeah, one might.
One doesn't like that. One.
Does one does she say that?
An exhausting weekend. I don't think she says it in a casual setting.
No.
I don't think she'd have gone, Charles, where's the TV remote? One's getting very pissed off with you leaving it over there.
No. Not at all. That's.
But then, would she say I'm? I don't know.
Maybe she just cuts the sentence. She clips the sentences much shorter. So she just cuts out that sort of complication. Just points at stuff and says, "I want that."
Did you see the other day at the start of the Jubilee celebrations? They flew 70 planes over Buckingham Palace.
Was it 70?
Yeah, because it's 70 years.
Bloody hell!
I wish I could have seen that, because that's quite cool if you like planes. But I quite like planes. There's no evidence that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II is a plane enthusiast as such. I don't know. I just feel like she might be like a lot of people, where she kind of goes, "Yeah, they're right," but then she's got to stand there, and they're not coming over all in one go, are they? They're sort of there's some planes, and there's a bit of a pause, and there's some more planes, and she's got to stand there and go, "Oh, look, some more planes," and a bit out of the side of her mouth, she's going to like Charles and going, "How many more fucking planes before I can go inside and have a sherry?"
I think she would have much preferred 70 hours in a garden centre. On her own, like a lock-in. Garden centre lock-in, what an amazing idea. Wouldn't it be
amazing? Well, now, this is what I was going to say about the garden centre that intrigues me, and intrigued me about the one I was at the other day, is that if you went on Dragon's Den and said, "I've got an idea for a new shop, we're going to sell plants, and we're going to sell plant pots, and we're going to sell potting compost, we're going to sell hanging baskets, and we're going to sell lawn care products, and we're going to sell secateurs and things like that." And you go, "Okay, yeah.
And pretend plants.
And we're going
plants.
To sell greetings cards."
Yeah.
"What?
Yeah.
Right, excuse me. Duncan Ballantyne, you're going to sell all the things for your garden, and you're also going to sell greetings cards." "Yes, and a small selection of books, and... we might also sell some shirts." "What? No, business model's too diffuse. It's too diffuse. No one's going to go over there. No, it's just concentrate on one thing. Is your clothes shop, your card shop, your book shop? No, you can't do anything." "No, I can, honestly, because I'm going to call it a garden centre."
"Yeah.
No, I'm out. And but this is the business model that garden centres have carried on with for what? Like 40 years, probably more.
Oh, quite a long time.
And they'd be going, "No, sorry, Duncan, before you go out, let me tell you, here, I've got a jar. Have a whiff of that. Oh, that's got a nice smell." "Yeah, well, the whole place is going to smell like that." "Right, I'm in. I'm going to give you £50 million for 2% of your business." Or
what,
like
just
that.
On the basis of the smell that's a little bit like pet food, a little bit like sawdust, a little bit like old women's lavender. I nearly said aftershave, but you know what I mean. Perfume. And
I had never thought about it. The smell of a garden centre might actually, part of it might be made up of the clientele.
Of course. Of course it is. I mean, how many Honda Jazzes are in the car park? I mean, it's written on the floor, you know, like where it says disabled parking, family parking, electric car parking. It'll just say Honda Jazz parking. And there'll be loads of them, just scores of them.
Although when I went the other day, I followed a Roomster into the car park.
Oh,
you see a lot of Roomsters, do you?
No, it's got a high roof, that one, isn't it? It's a high forehead of a car. That one and the... Is it the Yaris Verso? You don't see many of those. That's got a very high forehead of a vehicle.
A very high forehead.
Which one? There was a whole series of the sort of strangely high cars.
Very Tefal, yeah. Tefal cars. Lots of
Suzuki Wagon-R, the original Wagon-R. That was a good one. Yeah, weirdly, because they've all gone now, I sort of miss them because they're so gawky. I chuckle. I did see a Yaris.
I think they live on. The big forehead car lives on in Japan. There's quite a lot of JDM forehead cars, I think. Maybe this will be this week's listener thought exercise, is what's the most foreheady car you've ever seen?
Forehead spec. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Very narrow, but tall. That's what we want. Top hat car.
But slap-heady as well.
Slap-head car.
Well, anyway, we'll leave you with that, and we will now bring this gently to a rest in one of the jazz spaces in a garden centre.
Yeah, make sure you pick a CD out of the basket near the till.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, that's of course. Yes, it's a compilation, an off-brand Elvis compilation. No. Where does that relate to hanging baskets? It doesn't, Duncan. That's the point.
That and some carrot seeds while you're there.
Yeah. Crisps. They had loads of crisps. Big bags of crisps in this one I went
what
to
What do
the
you
day.
Mean loads of crisps?
Loads of crisps. Just big bags of crisps. I think some kind of local crispery, but like just massive bags of crisps just around the place.
That's just to encourage diabetes. Yeah.
That totally makes sense. I'll go and buy some geraniums. And, oh, yeah, actually, I do need some crisps, don't I? And one of those sort of very female-skewing novels with a very pastely cover.
Oh, yeah, I know the ones.
Those.
Yeah.
Loads of those. It was called Chardonnay Afternoons or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know the ones.
No, I don't care about the smell. Your business model is bollocks. Right, anyway.
We bought a kneel pad and some Crocs. You're actually recording this podcast with a kneeling pad strapped to your knees.
We've been kneeling down in a pair of very durable trousers with pockets.
I love those. Yeah, I love those workwear trousers. I love them.
Yeah.
They're great.
You can wear them when you open your valeting business underneath your crocodile onesie.
That's a fantastic idea. I'm going to do that. Crocodile onesie. Maybe that's what he's doing now. He's
probably
running a successful detailing company whilst wearing
or
a soft
successful garden centre.
Or a successful.
I could see him running a garden centre. No. He looks like he smells like a garden centre a little bit, sort of like, but it smells of wet leather and garden centres. Anyway, before we go, I've got three things to tell you. They are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Break Plates Show, in which Johnny goes around smashing crockery. This week he's at a Greek wedding.
Oh.
If you don't like that, there's The Late Break Show, in which he looks at cars and has a review of a Metro 6R4, which I haven't watched yet, but I bloody well will when we finish this, because I can't wait. Second thing I've got to tell you is we have merch.
We do.
And we have Father's Day merchandise. We have cards. We have a couple of different Father's Day cards. We have
bundles.
Bundles. Wrap the cards up with some of our other merch, mugs,
yeah,
T-shirts, all that kind of stuff. And every order comes with a bottle of Brut.
Absolutely it does, to the point where my wife said to me, she said, I've never been so deep in aftershave in all my life. It's all over. She's been picking and packing furiously. But where we do have some Father's Day bundles and all that might still be free and that.
Yeah, but get in there fast, because Father's Day is, in fact, this week. Oh, no, it's not. It's next week, is it? It's the 19th. Sorry.
Don't be too much of a man and leave it too late.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of predicated on your dad also listening to this podcast, but empirical evidence and messages we've had suggest that some people do indeed listen to this podcast and then discuss it with their own fathers, which I think is very nice in itself. Treat your old dad, be nice to him, give him some merchandise from this show,
and share it on social media. If you've made sure that your dad is soaking his neck in Brut this Father's Day, take a picture and celebrate that. Maybe take a little picture of it on the bonnet of his vehicle. Let's just say it's a Capri 3 litre, just for old time's sake. Like to see that.
I think our ideas of what dads get up to these days are slightly out of date.
I think it's extremely out of date. But it's all said with a satirical edge.
Isn't it?
On that side.
All right, the third thing I've got to tell you is that the youngest member of the Friends cast was Matthew Perry.
He was the youngest.
Yeah.
Gosh, interesting. I think he probably looks the oldest now.
He does now, doesn't he? Well, yeah. It's a hard one to call. He looks like he's had some trials in his life, which I think he has.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt LeBlanc just looks like a man in his 50s who's earned a load of money and likes to sit on his ranch drinking wine.
Yes, I think Matt LeBlanc is a big absolutely fan fair of play. Red meat and like...
Yeah.
Yes, sugary drinks. He's
got one of those barbecues that's like gas burners up the yin yang, but it's also about as long as an aircraft carrier. And he's just throwing meat on it all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And drinking a really, really hearty Zinfandel.
Oh,
He's happy as anything.
He is.
And fair play.
Apparently, he's a nice bloke.
Yes, he is. I've heard that from several sources that he's a good bloke.
Mm.
So, yeah. And then David Schwimmer just looks the same as he's always looked for about 30 years.
It's true.
I think.
True.
Fair play. All right, well.
Well, I never thought we'd end this podcast on analysing the look of the Friends cast.
The look
but
of
anyway.
The men from Friends. Next week, maybe we'll move on to, what are they called? I can't remember the real names. Rachel, Monica, and the other one, Phoebe.
Let's just talk about Jennifer Aniston for the whole of the next episode of this podcast. I find that easy to do, but not creepy Jennifer in any Aniston. Way. No, so on that side of things, I'm going to say thanks for listening and give us a star rating if you're listening to this on one of those platforms where they want you to do that. And then like and share and comment and like and share. And also like with shares. Not with Cher, like the female singer. You could like it with Cher.
Just say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, love you. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up.
Leggy first. Oh, you hang up again.